Today's Mishnah and Masechet Idiot brought you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh is Perek Chet Mishnah Aleph. So, let us begin with the Edus of Rabbi Yoshua ben Batera about Dam Nevelot. It's a little confusing because we actually had discussed the Dam Nevelot question earlier. And we know that it was one of the machlokasin that we had between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai as to whether if you have a revius, and a revius, when it coagulates, turns back into a solid kizayit, interestingly enough, if you're talking about blood. And so we said before, that in that case, this is back in the fifth parak, it was one of the cases where Beit Shammai was matahir completely, and Beit Hillel said it's only tahor if it doesn't have enough blood to actually coagulate to be a kizayit, which is then the equivalent of a kizayis of basar of the nevela. So when we have Rabbi Yoshua ben Beterat, who is saying that dam nevelot is tahor, in order for it not to go against the Psak of Beit Hillel that we had earlier, it means that it would be tahor even if it is present in a shear, which you normally would be metame. Here, it would only be metame berevius in order to equal a kizayis. But up until then, it would be tar. That way, you can make him also be consistent with the Shita of Beit Hillel. Heyed Rabbi Shimon ben Betera, next edus, is what would be the din of things that are made out of individual tiny pieces? So let's say you've got a powdery substance, or you've got coals, or you've got ashes. So, are those things similar to liquids in that if they're in a single container, then that container is mitzaref them or not? So the second edus over here, this time by Rabbi Shimon ben Batera, tells us that if you have efer chatat, that's inside of one kli, if nagata mebe mikzato, tame et kulo. So even if you have someone whose tummy touching one piece of that afer, the tziruf of the kli makes them one, and therefore it's as if you touch the whole thing. Now this din is one of the chumras. It's called the ma'alos of pora, and it's also one of the ma'alos of kodesh. And because of that, it's obviously only drabbanan, all these ma'alot or ma'alot drabbanan. But legabe these things, like the poraduma, it's considered to be a tziruf kli. Now, the question is, this is all very nice when you're talking about the pora. And you're talking about a tomei. What about if we're talking about kodesh? And what about if we're talking about someone who's a tful yom, and he's not absolutely tame, he already went to the mikveh, and he's only waiting until Harif Shemesh comes along Rabbi Akiva and says, make no mistake about the edus of Rabbi Shimon ben Batera, who only spoke about a ferchatas, it's even, and only talked about a real tame. I'm adding, even if you're talking about solet for menoches, or the k'teres in the Beis Hamikdash, or the levena, or gechalim. Now, all of these things are separate little pieces. Now, you'll ask, but wait a minute. K'teres, levona, gechalim, that's not food. So how could food anyway be makabel, non-food be makabel tuma as ochlin umashkin? To be tame with the tful yom, how would that be possible? The answer is a concept called gavi, a concept called Chibat HaKodesh. Things which are Hegdesh have a certain chavivut attached to them that makes them choshuv, and therefore the Chibas HaKodesh itself is machshivam to be able to be makabel tuma, even though they're not a real foodstuff. And if nagat tfuyom b'miktzatam, if a tfuyom touches it, and the kli is considered to be mitzarif them, they all become posel because of chibas hakodesh. Perek chet mishnah beit. Now, in the perek before, remember, we talked about the idea that was the edus of Reb Nechunya ben Gudgida. Nechunya ben Gudgida said that if a ketana was married midrabbana, so she didn't have a father, or she was legally yitoma b'chayei av, and she's married to a kohen because her mother accepted, her brothers accepted. And the Rabbonin, remember, provide for that type of marriage as a protection for ketanais. So we said, remarkably, according to Reb Nechunya ben Gudgida, that he had a Kabbalah that she's allowed to eat truma, obviously, only truma min Rabbonin, but she's allowed to eat truma min Rabbonin. So heyed Reb Yehuda ben Bava, Reb Yehuda HaKohen, al ketana bat Yisrael, Shanis eight lechohen. So here it's talking about that she was a yitoma. Otherwise, there's nothing to discuss. At what point does she get to eat that truma? Shehi ochelet betruma at the moment she was nichneset lechupa. Afalpi shelo nivala. So according to Rabbi Nechunya ben Gudgida, you would have thought, okay, the whole thing over here, remember, is a Rabbanan idea. The Rabbanan's idea is to provide sexual protection, but it's all about sexual protection. I mean, the question of going into a chuppah, not going into a chuppah, is not really a point. That's all just symbolic. It's really only about actual sexual relationships. So if they consummated the marriage, okay, so at that point she's got herself a man that's going to be taking care of her. But, I mean, to go into a chuppah for a ketana and to consider that to be a full marriage to a kohen where a ketana doesn't have a das to really be in a chuppah, you would think that based on Reb Nechunya ben Gudgida, that's not enough. Comes along Reb Yehuda ben Bava and Reb Yehuda HaKohen to say no. Part of the takona is that knisa l'chuppa is sufficient for her to be able to eat truma d'rabbanan in the same way that it would have been if it was a father's kedushin. It would have been enough to be machil her in truma d'oraita. Next halacha. This next halacha is the question of what the din of the zayna to a kohen would be, and the extension of the din of a zayna is, remember that we have been taking for granted all along that if a woman was kidnapped, and she was kidnapped by goyim, that then we would need to have witnesses that tell us that she wasn't raped, and that otherwise the assumption is that she was raped, and even though obviously she's not at fault for being raped, but the fact is that these goyim had relations with her, and therefore she would be asura to a kohen. Now, there were terrible periods in Jewish history in which the only way that a family could survive was by pawning children. So if they needed money, and it was a question of life and death, say they had 10 kids, they would pawn one of their children, give a child to a goy, and they would say, if we don't get you the money back by such and such time, you keep our daughter. So what about a case of a tinok at heyed Rabbi Yossi HaKohen and Rabbi Zechariah ben HaKatzav about a young girl who was Hur Hanah. She was pawned in Ashkelon against a debt. And after the debt was repaid, her family would not allow her to marry into the family because it was a family of Kohanim, and they assumed that she had a din of a zonah, and they were marchik her. Rechakua b'nei mishpachta, even though the same people who were made that she had been Hur Hanah, they were made that she was never alone with them, and she was not nitma'ah. Now, the witnesses were the same. They don't have to be kosher witnesses. Maybe they were avodim that were with her. But they were the ones who informed the family about the fact that she had been pawned, and they were the ones that informed the family that she had not been violated. And so the Chachomim said to them, this is what Rabbi Yossi HaKohen was made, the Chachomim said to the family, you can't have it both ways. If you believe these Avodim, or whoever they were, these Goyim, that she was actually pawned, Shehur Hanah, so then you have to believe them that nothing happened to her. Ha'aminu shelo nisra v'shelo nitma'a. Because it's basically the ultimate Pesha Asra Pesha Yitter. You believe she was Hur Hanah, so then believe that she wasn't violated. V'imeina tem ma'aminim shel nistra, if you refuse to believe them, because they're so frum, that she wasn't actually raped, so then you don't believe that. So then, im'ein atem ma'aminim, that she wasn't alone and that she had never been raped, so why do you believe them that she was ever pawned to Goyim? You can't trust these people to say she was pawned, and therefore she's completely muteret to marry the Kohen anyway.